This is VSiN's College Football Betting Podcast.
Welcome in. It is the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast. I'm your host, Tim Murray, joined. It's a Wednesday. I know days have kind of been all over the place, but it's a Wednesday. We have a tradition on the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast. We call it Wednesdays with Wes. I'm very creative with my names of shows. Wes Reynolds in the house. We are live on Twitter, on X. We are also live on YouTube, so we appreciate all of those of you watching and following along with us. As always, please rate, review, and subscribe to the podcast. We'll have more podcasts next week to get you ready for the national championship, but two semifinals. First up, Notre Dame taking on Penn State at the Orange Bowl. Thursday night, ESPN, 7:30 Eastern. And then Friday, Wes, it'll be Ohio State and Texas in the Cotton Bowl. Jerry's World, 7:30 Eastern as well. And fortunately for those two teams, that game will be played indoors because looks like a little inclement weather down there in that Fort Worth, Dallas area.
And if you were down there for the Super Bowl several years ago, they do not deal well with inclement weather down there in the Metroplex in Dallas and Fort Worth. So probably a good thing that the Cotton Bowl is it Jerry World.
Yeah, no doubt about it. We'll get to that. We'll go chronologically here. By the way, we've had episodes already earlier this week. I chatted with Adam Burke on Monday, went through and chatted with Matt Eumanns yesterday, and today we're chatting with Wes Reynolds and live here on at VSiN Live. So Notre Dame, Penn State, Wes, this is the 20th meeting all time between these two history-rich programs. 9 wins for Penn State, 9 wins for Notre Dame, 1 tie. These two teams played 12 consecutive years from 1981 to 1992, took about 14 years off. They played in South Bend in 2006, a Notre Dame win. They played in Happy Valley in 2007, a Penn State win. They have not played since. This will be the second meeting all time between these two programs in a bowl game. I know you remember the 1977 Gator Bowl. Wes, remember well, I'm sure.
Just like it was yesterday. I do actually remember 1992. Talk about a game that should be played in inclement weather.
Yes.
It's this one. 1992, the Snow Bowl, you remember well in South Bend when Notre Dame goes for 2, Rick Meyer to Reggie Brooks, and they get the 17-16 win. So Penn State, I believe, did that a few years before, went for 2 and got the win. Yeah, it was 87. Blair Thomas was the running back there at Penn State. So that's what this game, it feels like it should be in snow, but it's not. It's going to be at Hard Rock Stadium at the Orange Bowl down in Miami.
And I am cool with
that. I know you're very cool with
that
since you're going.
Looking forward to it. Fly out later on this evening. So hopefully it's a little bit better, Wes, than the last time I visited Hard Rock Stadium or whatever it was called 12 years ago when Alabama came out of the tunnel. I looked to my left. I said, oh, boy, this is going to be a rough one. Yeah. And it was 42-14, the final score in the 2012 National Championship played in January of 2013. Fun little history note. We'll get into the nuts and bolts of this. All of these programs have obviously won national championships. Ohio State in 2014, the most recent to win the title, won it in the college football playoff. Texas in the famous 2005 Vince Young Rose Bowl. That was their last title in 2005. Notre Dame's last title, 1988. And Penn State's last title, 1986. So one of these two programs will be playing for a national championship and an opportunity to win it for the first time since the 80s. A lot of unique perspectives in this game. Where would we like to start, Wes? Do we want to start Penn State? We want to start Notre Dame? How do we start the pregame discussion on Notre Dame, Penn State?
You know, maybe we go with both of the coaches here, Marcus Freeman and James Franklin. Starting with Marcus Freeman, look, ever since that loss to Northern Illinois, he's flipped a switch and he's gotten them focused, and he has done a tremendous job, as good a job as any coach in the country, I think, this year, because I know the schedule, you know, some of the teams they played that are usually higher echelon were a little bit down this year, like USC, but Marcus Freeman has had them focused, and they haven't missed at all. They've been able to win, you know, shootouts, or they've been able to win grinders. They've been able to win with defense. They've been able to win with running game. They've been able to win with special teams like they did against Georgia, which kind of seemingly put that out of reach, even though it didn't in the game, that opening kickoff there in the second half. So Marcus Freeman, I think he's getting a lot of more of the positive mojo in terms of the coverage, and rightfully so with how Notre Dame has done this season. On the other side, James Franklin, who we derisively or kiddingly refer to as Big Game
James.
Big Game James. Because he hasn't been Big Game James. The only Big Game James, by the way, is James Worthy, but I digress. James Franklin, look. What is the streak now against top five opponents?
I know that Chris Felica let me know that over the last 18 games that they've played as an underdog, they're 2-16 straight up.
Lost 10 in a row, by the way, as an underdog. And then they're not underdogs very often. We know what Penn State does. They're very good bullies, especially when they're medium to big size favorites, and they cover those numbers pretty routinely. But trying to play for that first national title since 1986.
Yeah, it was funny to look it up, and Marcus Freeman took over officially Notre Dame in January of 2022 when Brian Kelly left for LSU. So he was technically the head coach of the Irish in that Fiesta Bowl loss to Oklahoma State. But when you look at when he started as the full-time regular season head coach, 2022, so three seasons, Wes, the two best teams against the point spread, Notre Dame, Penn State. Notre Dame 27-11-2 ATS since 2022. These, according to I believe it's TeamRankings.com, 71% cover rate. And then Penn State 26-14-1 ATS, a 65% cover rate. So both these teams have been very strong against the spread. Notre Dame this year, depending on how you graded out the Virginia game, there were 21s, there were 20.5s out there. Notre Dame 10 consecutive covers going into this contest. But you look at Penn State. What did they do in the college football playoff? They covered with ease against SMU. They covered against Boise State. Didn't get the cover against Oregon in the Big Ten championship. But I've said this a number of times, Wes, and I'm curious to get your thoughts on it. I came away from the Big Ten championship as everyone said, oh, Big Game James couldn't do it again.
Right.
I was actually impressed. I came away from the Big Ten championship saying, whoa, that's a pretty darn good football team there.
Well, the fact that they showed a little bit of explosiveness offensively, they were able to go up and down the field with Oregon. They were never really a threat, I think, to win the game. Oregon just got out to that lead and, you know, fast track, and that's where the Ducks, I think, really thrive offensively with all the motion and how they spread the ball around. But I liked what Penn State did, and we saw it at the Fiesta Bowl, too, at State Farm Stadium down there in Glendale, is that they were willing to take more shots down the field, and that's kind of maybe the offensive bugaboos, I think, for both of these teams, is they lack that big game receiver that's going to stretch the field. They're very good underneath, and you know, we're, especially Penn State with the tight end, with Tyler Warren over the middle, but they don't have that big game receiver, but Penn State was taking shots against Boise State, which kind of surprised me a little bit. I thought, okay, pretty, you know, in a phone booth game plan, they're going to run the ball with Singleton and Allen. They're going to hit Tyler Warren. They're going to, you know, wide receiver screens, a lot of bubble screens and whatnot, and get guys in space, make a man miss. But they weren't going to take a lot of deep shots, but they did against Boise State. Now we'll see if they're going to do this outdoors against Notre Dame, against a very good Notre Dame secondary, despite the loss of Benjamin Morris.
Let's talk injuries. Abdul Carter, who is projected to be a top five pick, edge rusher, just an absolute monster, wreaking havoc on the outside for Penn State, dealing with a shoulder injury. This is what James Franklin said regarding Abdul Carter when meeting with the media today. Quote, we anticipate Abdul to play. He's doing everything he can possibly can to play, but it'll be a game time decision, and we'll see. As for Notre Dame, Jeremiah Love, their star running back who dealt with a knee injury against USC, played against Indiana, practiced with a sleeve on his knee, had the explosive run against Indiana, then outside of that really was bottled up by the Indiana defense, Wes. 6 carries, 19 yards, left the game against Georgia with a knee injury again, was seen at practice over the weekend with a heavy knee brace on his right knee, and everyone down in Miami, whether it be Mike Denbrock, whether it be Riley Leonard or Marcus Freeman today, said Jeremiah Love, I beg your pardon, is going to play, but insert my skepticism, insert my Ron Burgundy, I don't believe you. Do I think he'll play Jeremiah Love, Wes? Yes, I do. Do I think he'll be effective? No, I don't. And the betting market would agree, right? William Hill Caesars had a number as high as 52.5 in the prop market earlier this week. That has gotten smacked down to the upper 30s. Same for FanDuel, was in that 47.5 range. Our friends at Stations Casino actually opened up 49.5. I saw that earlier today on Wednesday. That has gotten scooped up down to 38.5. Look, I have some under on Jeremiah Love because I just don't anticipate against a very strong run defense, a team that no doubt in Penn State, West, is going to force and want to force Notre Dame to throw the football. If Jeremiah Love isn't the explosive Jeremiah Love, I don't see much success for him, especially when you look at Riley Leonard. Had success running the ball against Georgia. Jadarian Price, I thought, had some success running the football. And Aeneas Williams, who's been their third down back, I think they're going to utilize him a little bit. I would be surprised if Jeremiah Love, to be honest, gets more than like 4 or 5 carries against Penn State, if what we have seen so far is indeed true of the health of that knee.
Yeah, and you saw that both Jadarian Price and Jeremiah Love had trouble running the ball against Georgia. I think 16 carries for 56 yards. Riley Leonard really had to carry them on his back, 13 for 91. Drew Aller can run the ball a little bit, but, you know, Riley Leonard is more of the runner, I think, on the quarterback side. But on the Abdul Carter, because I do want to touch on that, guy had 11 sacks. I think he was 7th in the nation, but they were able to kind of get by with it against Boise State. I don't know if they can necessarily here. I think Carter's going to go. Danny Dennis Sutton is his replacement, and those guys are good run stoppers, and they're both really good pass rushers, but yeah, you need Carter here because one of the things about Leonard, he really didn't find a lot of pass plays down the field, and he's a guy that kind of works between the numbers and between the chains. He's not a guy that takes a lot of deep shots, but if Carter's not in there, he may have an opportunity at least once or twice in that game and just give him a little bit of extra time. So that'd be a big loss if Carter does not go for Penn State.
No, I'd imagine he would go. Just to how effective is he going to be? Is Notre Dame going to try to maybe play a little gamesmanship, maybe hit that shoulder a little bit,
right.
Wes? See how it holds up. So, look, the rest versus rust theory obviously has been talked about a lot when it comes to the college football playoff, Wes. I'm curious your thoughts on this. So Penn State played on New Year's Eve against Boise State, and then Notre Dame played on January 2nd because of a tragedy that unfolded in the French Quarter on New Year's Eve, so they had to push that game back. However, it has been noted by some, Notre Dame's played one less game. Penn State played in the Big Ten Championship. Notre Dame, of course, did not have to play in a conference championship. Is there advantage to be had for Penn State knowing that they had 2 days, I wouldn't say to prepare because they didn't know who their opponent would be necessarily, but just to rest up a little bit?
Yeah.
Do you think that's an advantage?
It very well could be, just to heal up. And, the travel, none of that matters, even though Penn State had to go all the way to Arizona, now have to go back home, go down to Miami, whereas Notre Dame from South Bend to New Orleans, back to South Bend, now down to Miami. But I don't think that matters really at this point in the season. I think it could only be beneficial because it's not really like basketball, Tim, where it's like you want to play the next day.
Right.
Like when we get into like conference tournament seasons, and we will talk about that ad nauseum over the next couple months on various programs on VSiN. When you get in those conference tournaments, the team that played the day before sometimes has the advantage over the rested team because they've had to deal with their fate being at the hands of being eliminated. So, you know, I think it could probably only be beneficial for Penn State. I don't know how much of a disadvantage, though, it necessarily is for Notre Dame at this point in the season.
Let's look at the market real quickly over at VSiN.com. One of the many perks you get as a VSiN Pro subscriber are betting splits from DraftKings as well as Circa. So let's look at the betting splits as of Wednesday. Notre Dame, 66% of the bets, 71% of the handle. I don't like that. 60% of the bets, 66% of the handle on the under. We'll get to the total here momentarily. I put out a couple texts earlier today to John Murray over at the Westgate Superbook, and he said, as of right now, they will be big Nittany Lion fans come tomorrow night, and a lot of Notre Dame money. And then our friend Chuck Esposito at the Stations Casino said they took a pretty big wager on Penn State, and they had seen a little sharp action on Penn State. From a market standpoint, Wes, never saw three, got up to 2.5, seen that buyback come in, and we've kind of settled in that 1-1.5 range for Notre Dame against Penn State, which I think makes some sense. So let's just do side before we jump into the total. We can hit some props as well. I did see over at VSiN.com a little pick came in from now my enemy. I'm just kidding. Wes Reynolds. I was on Georgia. I owned it. Yes, Mike Palm, I was on Georgia. I know you've continued to give me grief about it. I was wrong. I have not played a side in this one. Give us your thoughts on the side in this one right now. Penn State, we'll call them a 1.5-point dog.
I know. I was already the enemy a couple weeks ago, and you took care of me. God, you know,
I was going to get you.
Stop. I'm already dead.
I know. There's a T-shirt that says Indiana State Champs, and it has the N and D bolded in gold. I was going to get you that for Christmas.
I would have appreciated that gift. I was hoping it was going to be an I and a U, but I knew about after that 96-yard Jeremiah Love or 98-yard run that
don't
was
shortchange him, 98.
Yeah, 98 yards, and knew that was well done. But look, I think that this is going to dance around the number. Yeah. I think that this is probably going to be where it closes. And, you know, certain houses, like John Murray said over at Superbook at Westgate,
yep,
they are going to be big Penn State fans. Certain books, it's going to be, I think, more even. But I did bet the Nittany Lions here at 1.5. Look, I mentioned the trends, 10 underdog, 10 losses in a row. So maybe I'm hoping this is like, you know, the old Vitas Gerulaitis quote about Jimmy Connors. Nobody beats Vitas Gerulaitis 17 times in a row. That this is going to be nobody.
I thought you were going to go more Krusty the Clown when he bet the Washington Generals. But they were due.
I thought James Franklin was due. I've actually said that on a couple of occasions, though, and not been rewarded with a victory or a cash ticket. But I am on Penn State here. I look at how they are against the run. Whether Jeremiah Love goes or is near 100% or not, this is a team that's fourth in stuff rate. They're ninth in yards per carry. They don't allow a lot of scores in the red zone. I think it's only 41% of the time opponents get in the red zone that they get touchdowns. So this team can make you settle for three. Tom Allen, former Indiana coach, of course, my alma mater, the defensive coordinator there. And his teams usually, especially when he's got dudes up there, they hold up against the run. Neither team is really a team that gets a lot of big passing plays down the field. That's certainly a concern. I think from an injury standpoint, like we were talking about, with Riley Mills being out, even though they were able to get by with that against Georgia, I think the defensive injuries may have added up just a little bit more for Notre Dame than they have for Penn State. And I worry about the Irish in terms of, I said both these teams really struggle with big plays, especially Notre Dame. They had one play, by the way, in that Sugar Bowl against Georgia that went for over 15 yards.
Yeah, it was the draw up the middle from Riley Leonard, about 30-plus yards. So, yeah, I mean, I totally understand, and I think the point spread, if it was Penn State 1.5, if it was Notre Dame 1.5, I think that's about right. I think all year long, from a power rating standpoint, these two teams have kind of been in that same land. And I know this seems very simplistic, but it feels to me kind of like it was in the Sugar Bowl. What was the difference? Special teams and turnovers. Notre Dame won the turnover battle, +2. Notre Dame 3-for-3 on field goals, returned a kickoff for a touchdown, and then did the okey-doke on that punt where they were able to draw Georgia offsides. Notre Dame this year, Wes, +18 in turnover margin. Penn State not so shabby themselves, +10 in the turnover margin. It feels like, who's going to blink first? Who's going to make that mistake first? Mm-hmm. And, you know, not to bring up bad memories, but thinking back to Notre Dame, Indiana, Notre Dame blinked first. They threw the pick, and you're like, uh-oh, this thing might be different. And then Indiana makes the mistake. And then
my excitement subsided, by the way. But I do agree with you in terms of special teams. I think that's the biggest advantage, actually, in this game for Notre Dame. Because, and I want to ask you about this as somebody that's a fan, somebody that follows this program very closely, do you now have more confidence in Mitch Jeter as a kicker?
You have to. And it's funny because heading into the Indiana game, I was doing a podcast with Pete Sampson and Matt Fortuna. They do a Notre Dame podcast called The Independent. I think my predicted score was 26-7. I said, Mitch Jeter's going to miss an extra point or something like that. You know, I was at the USC game. He misses a dead-on, I think it was a 28-yard field goal, perfect conditions, and he missed it. And you're just thinking, this is done. You know, he's you are the golf better here at the network, along with Kelly and Matt Brown. You guys do a tremendous job, Matt Humans as well. And it felt like he had the yips. Mm-hmm. Now, he dealt with a hamstring injury, but now the confidence seems to be back. And I think it started at Indiana with the 40-plus yard field goal he hit in the freezing cold. And
I was sitting in the stands, by the way, and I had a bunch of Notre Dame fans actually around me and where we were sitting. And
they were like,
oh, my God, oh, my God, oh, my God. And then he nailed it, and it's like, yeah, I knew he could do it.
I totally believed in you all the time. But right now you have to believe in Mitch Jeter. So, yeah, I mean, he was kicking off again for the Irish in the Sugar Bowl. He hadn't done that since he had been injured. So, yeah, I think you have to believe. What I will say is something I picked up on from the Sugar Bowl. I know we're getting kind of nitty-gritty here, but, hey, we've only got two games to break down. Georgia was so worried about the possibility of a fake that they didn't bring any pressure on Mitch Jeter. And Indiana did. Indiana blocked a field goal later in that game. I'd be curious if Penn State, if there is a field goal, and I would anticipate there will be, if there is a field goal attempt, I would be curious if Penn State brings pressure to try to block a field goal of Mitch Jeter, because he's had a handful blocked this year.
You would think that they would. Tom Allen, historically, everywhere he's been, has been pretty aggressive with that, even though they don't bring like a lot of blitzing offensively. But, you know, to try to bring an extra guy off the edge, I could certainly see that happening. But this goes back to the coaching, which we kind of let off the discussion of this ball game. Who's going to take the first risk?
Yeah.
In this game, who's going to do the fake first? Who's going to go for it on fourth down first? And who's going to be able to do that? Notre Dame, by the way, you know, they got three defensive stops. That's another reason they won that Sugar Bowl against Georgia. Not only the kick return, but also stopping Georgia three times on fourth down and then the plus two in the turnover margin. So, you know, even though they didn't look their best offensively, they did find ways.
Yeah, so let's look at offense for Penn State. We'll get to the total here in just a moment. So, Drew Aller, I think there's no doubt he's the best quarterback that Notre Dame has faced all year. Now, I think similarly, you could say Riley Leonard, best scrambler that Penn State has faced all year. I would say from a passing perspective, I would give the edge, certainly the way he's been playing lately, to Will Howard, even though Will Howard threw that critical pick six early on in the game against Penn State back in October in the noon game there at Happy Valley. But when you look at Drew Aller and the way he's been playing, I thought first half, that touchdown pass he had to Tyler Warren was very, very impressive. I think Drew Aller, I was listening to Bruce Feldman on with our buddy Chris the Bear Felica on their podcast, and he said, there's a lot of folks in the NFL world who might be knocking on his door saying, hey, you sure you want to come back to college next year, especially going up against this Al Golden defense? Drew Aller, from a passing standpoint, Wes, do they have the weapons to make Notre Dame pay? Because Notre Dame, one thing you know about them, man-to-man defense. They are going to rely on their corners. Leonard Moore, the freshman, has stepped in for Benjamin Morrison. As crazy as this sounds for a guy who's probably going to be a first-round pick in Benjamin Morrison, he might be playing better. Now, Christian Gray, he can be had. The big explosive play early on in the Sugar Bowl, that was on Christian Gray's side. You saw him against USC struggle a little bit. Even Indiana, I think, had a little bit of success going at Christian Gray. So does Penn State, outside of Warren, have the playmakers to make Notre Dame pay with Aller's arm?
Yeah, the key is going to be Amari Evans. Remember, he had a long one against Boise State in the Fiesta Bowl. I mentioned Penn State, you know, doesn't always take shots down the field, but they really started to do that against Boise State. We'll see if Andy Kotelnicki, the offensive coordinator there for the Nittany Lions, is ready to do that. And there are times where I think he, you know, because I expected he was going to be a little less, I guess, close to the best from his play calling standpoint. Maybe it's because he has a good backfield duo there with Singleton and Allen.
Should have just kept running them nonstop. I thought they got too cute up 14-0.
Yeah, I thought they did too, where it's like, okay, now you got a lead. You can just smash these guys up front. They're not going to be able to do that necessarily against Notre Dame. Both these teams really good against the run. I think Penn State a little bit better defensively against the run. But, yeah, somebody's got to make a big play for Penn State in the passing game. You know, Notre Dame, I'm sure, is is going to be focused on war. And by the way, that's going to be actually a hell of a matchup for Tyler Warren.
I'm very curious to see who Notre Dame, what they decide to do. Do they go a bracket coverage, right? Do they kind of shade two people on him? Do they put a Don Shuler, the redshirt freshman who's played very, very well? He's the one who forced the fumble on ETN. Or do they go with the All-American Xavier Watts?
That's what I think that they're probably, because they move him all, move him all around too. So that's what I think. It's like, okay, we're not going to let that guy beat us. Maybe we're going to take our chances that you know, the Penn State receivers, who there's been a question mark about their explosiveness down the field, because they don't have like a Dotson from a few years ago that can be a game breaker. So maybe, you know, Al Golden and Marcus Freeman are like, okay, we'll let them try to beat us that way, but we're not going to let Warren beat us.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a very fascinating game, very hard-hitting game. Wes on Penn State plus 1.5. You can still get that at DraftKings. If you're here in Las Vegas, you can get it at the South Point. Let's get to the total. We've seen steady movement towards the under here. I was on the air, fortunately enough, last Thursday after Notre Dame beat Georgia. We saw these early lines come out, and I was surprised to see 47.5 out there. So my first bet was to the under on that. Now you're getting into that 45 range, 44.5 at DraftKings, and you never like to be on that kind of popular side. Unders don't tend to be popular, and we'll see if the public starts to come in a little bit on the over here. But I'm curious, Wes, has it gone too far from a total standpoint? I don't really see Notre Dame having a ton of success through the air outside of turnovers, right? That is the big game changer when you're playing unders at a relatively low total. So what do you make of this number now that it's down at 45?
Yeah, I feel like it's probably right here. I was on the under for the Sugar Bowl, and even that, which looked like a, you know, the dead nut right side.
There was a moment where like in game it got to like 48
and a half. It did right when they got that kickoff return, and then Georgia scored. It's like, okay, here we go, because the first half under went easily under 22.
Well, it was 6-3, and I'm with you. I had first half under, I had full game under. And then you get the sack fumble. Then you get the kickoff return. It's 20-3. And then Georgia responded with a touchdown. It's 20-10. I'm like, oh, my God. Really?
Here we go. Here we go. And then it died. Georgia, you know, credit to Notre Dame's defense. Georgia could not convert any of those fourth downs, especially in the fourth quarter. And it stayed under. I think that the move is probably right, the initial move from 47.5 to 45. It's pretty much 45 at most.
There's even a 44.5 now.
Yeah, out there at DraftKings. I think this is about right. This is something I might wait to do something in-game. Yeah. But, yeah, I'm not going to chase, especially, you know, with the lines as tight as they are. I'm not going to chase that move here.
All right. Prop angle for you. I mentioned, I talked about it on the podcast on Monday, and shouts to Adam Burke. I thought, you know, with so many different markets out there, there's unique ways to bet things, and he found a player prop that I really liked, a head-to-head matchup where I was able to get both running backs of Ohio State, Quinshon Judkins and Travion Henderson, at minimal juice to have more rushing yards than Jeremiah Love. That's where I've been heavy on the Love unders. I don't anticipate him to have much success whatsoever. Now, I think there's a little bit of correlation. Do you want to go Riley Leonard over? I would look if I could find it. I haven't seen it. Anyone listening out there live right now, see it. Leonard carries could be an interesting prop if that starts to show out. I haven't seen that out there. He's in that like 48.5 range for rushing yards. I do think Jadarian Price could have some success on the ground, but you're getting that priced in, I think, right now at FanDuel, 48.5 for Jadarian Price. And you alluded to it. Penn State's got a really damn good run defense. It's not just that Love is hurt. It's that Penn State's really damn good at stopping the run. And you look at Ashton Gentry, 30 carries for 104 yards, and he broke a bunch of tackles. So for me, it was Love under early on in the week. Right now, anything in the market that interests you from a prop standpoint?
On the Notre Dame side, if you want to target, maybe Faison.
Jordan Faison,
by the way, was the guy that really killed Indiana in the passing game, was just a real chain mover. So over receptions, over yards, I'm sure it's moved a little bit from the opener.
And I'll say this just to jump in real quickly, because there was a shop here in town that had a number prior to the Sugar Bowl, 29.5, and I pounced on it. Why? Because you could see, if you've been watching these games, the Indiana game, this game most recently against Georgia, he truly is. There's a connection with him and Riley Leonard, and he's the twitchiest of all these wide receivers, and he seems they want to get him the ball in space. So the number out to 42.5 on Jordan Faison, but I do think that could be an interesting look. Over-under on receptions at FanDuel, I just have it up on my computer, as always, look around, 3.5. And I think he's the guy that they'll look to involve. I've been a little disappointed so far. I talked about it prior to the Indiana game. I was the wrong side of it. I thought Mitchell Evans, Notre Dame's tight end, would be more involved. Mm-hmm. Really hasn't been yet. Maybe that's a guy that Notre Dame tries to incorporate a little bit more. He had big games a year ago when he was fully healthy in the Ohio State game, in the Duke game. So he's at 25.5, which is right around where it was in the Indiana game. I thought Indiana did a really nice job on Evans. They bracketed him, and he really didn't get to do much of anything in that game.
And that opened it up for Faison, yep. of course. So 3.5, I think the juice is like maybe in the $1.35 yep. type range on average. Obviously, shop around. On the Penn State side, you were mentioning about how Christian Gray got targeted yep. a little bit. The guy he's probably going to be on is Harrison Wallace a lot. So I've seen Wallace in the high 40s. I think 47.5. I'm actually looking for the
FanDuel's 47 and
numbers.
And a half.
Yeah. So that would be one. That would be one I would maybe look at if I'm playing that over for Penn State.
All right, let's do this. Let's take a quick break. Notre Dame, Penn State, not the only game. Let's jump into Ohio State and Texas. That'll be Friday night down in Jarrah's World. It is the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast. Back in a minute.
This is VSiN's College Football Betting Podcast.
We keep it rolling here on the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast. Thanks to all of you joining us live on Twitter, on X, at VSiN Live. We hope to do this next week as we get you ready for the national championship, which will be a week from Monday down in Atlanta. We're also up on YouTube, youtube.com/VSiN Live. And as always, a salute to all of our loyal podcast listeners. Please rate, review, and subscribe. I'm going to be making sure everyone down at the Orange Bowl knows about the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast, Wes. So I'll be handing out flyers left and right there at some tailgates. But all right, that game, you've got a best bet on Penn State. I'm on the under at 47.5, 45, probably a little bit of a stay away, but still, that is where I will roll. As always, you can check out all our plays when we put them in, vsin.com/picks. This gentleman right here likes to put in his fair share of plays. And
sometimes they win.
Hey. Thank you to the good folks down in Gainesville. Winner for you, me, Matt Newman's, Florida. Good bounce back spot in college hoops. We also love to play some college hoops. So make sure to check that out. Part of the VSiN Pro subscriptions out there. Friday night, we've got Texas. We've got Ohio State. DraftKings has a 6 still out there in favor of the Buckeyes. 5.5's out there. It was interesting to note this. When this game officially came to New Year's Day, you saw it open, I think 4.5 was the number that I saw, and whoop, like an mm-hmm. elevator, right to 6, 6.5. And Wes, the first thing I said was, are we going to get to 7 here? Never saw
it. I was hoping so.
I was so hoping so, too. I'm like, wow, we might get a 7. Who knows what happens as we get closer and closer to game day, but so many unique aspects to this contest. And I'll just start with this history time. This is only the fourth time that Ohio State and Texas have met, believe it or not. These programs did not meet until just a couple years ago. I guess couple is a little bit of a stretch.
I think 05
first was. Met in 05. It was number 2 Texas at number 4 Ohio State. The Longhorns got them in Columbus 25-22. And then oddly enough, September 9, 2006, Notre Dame played Penn State in South Bend. A young Timmy Murray in his sophomore year of college was in attendance at that game. And Ohio State, Texas, number 1 versus number 2 in Austin. Ohio State got the best of them there. And then they played in the Fiesta Bowl in 2009. These two teams, believe it or not, will open up the season against each other next year in Columbus. But they play in Jerry's World. Has the number gone too far, Wes, here at six?
I wish it would go a little bit further, but yeah, it probably has. And, you know, one of the common things that we see, I don't care if it's college football, I don't care if it's NFL, basketball, whatever sport, bettors sometimes like to bet what they saw last. Bettors will bet their last impression. And what's their last impression? That Ohio State just obliterated Oregon. I know that that got more cosmetically pleasing in terms of the score.
Oh, it was obliteration.
Dead.
Yeah.
Or, the Ducks were drowned out there and in the Rose Bowl. And Ohio State.
Wait for you to reference Duck Hunt or something.
Yeah,
like
I know. It was Duck Hunt out there because the Buckeyes were sure hunting and hunting early. But, you know, they've been the most impressive team. I don't think there's any argument about that. Of the four teams that are left in the college football playoff, and I think these are the four, I guess, right teams based on what we've seen so far.
They were all favorites, right?
Absolutely. Ohio State has certainly been the most impressive.
Yeah.
And I feel like at their peak, Tim, they're the best team.
Agreed.
If they played their best is better than I think everybody else's best in college football. But you look at what they did, and then you look at what Texas did. Texas at one point, I think, was up, 24-8? I think that was the highest lead. But you looked at the stats, they were getting outplayed. They were getting outgained, like their offense really stalled out.
They had the explosive plays in the first drive, then they had the punt return.
Yeah.
And then it was kind of just like, all right, cruise control, we got this. And the defense was getting gashed with Cam Scadabo was
going nuts, man. Joe Tessitore was like he was calling Monday Night Raw or Friday Night SmackDown, man. He was into it.
Joe Tessitore.
He was a Scadabo. And at the end, of course, said hook 'em as the Longhorns held on. It felt like Texas barely held on.
Absolutely. And they needed a fourth and 13 touchdown in order to survive a loss.
But I will say, for the criticism he gets, and some of it is fair, and you know, you're always going to get that when you've got Arch Manning over your shoulder down there in Austin. Quinn Ewers made the big throws when he had to. In that Peach Bowl, he really did. I know he had that one interception, but he completed a lot of big throws, including that 4th and 13. So he's shown that he is very, very capable of doing it. I think from a just personnel standpoint, if you want to go talent here, Ohio State, I think, has the more talented receiver and an offensive line. Texas might be a little bit better in the back seven. Ohio State's defensive line, I think, is really the strength of their defense. Special teams. Another team with the special teams advantage. I think it is very much the Ohio State Buckeyes. But, Tim, I have not bet this yet, but I'm leaning Horns here at +6 because – and that was my pick, by the way, in our VSiN college football betting guide for the playoff. I said Penn State and Texas. I went against the grain. I said Penn State and Texas were going to be the national championship game.
Get to stick to your guns.
I am going to stick and watch it, of course, be Ohio State Notre Dame, which I'm sure the worldwide leader would not mind.
I'm sure they wouldn't hate it.
Having that matchup, even though I don't think they can go wrong really here with any of the four potential matchups. But if I bet this, I'm likely going to be on the Longhorns. I just think that this has just moved a little bit too much for me. I think, Tim, and you look at the Texas defense. They are second in yards per play. They are second in points per drive. We talk about the Ohio State defense that Jim Knowles has, and rightfully so, especially that defensive line. Texas very good up front too. And if Texas can get these guys behind the chains, that's what you have to do. I think this from Bill Connolly at ESPN. Ohio State, I believe, 23.3% on third and long, which is designated as 7 yards or more. You got to get Ohio State in the third downs. And that's what Tennessee had not been able to do, and that's what Oregon has not been able to do. Because if you do that, that's where Will Howard can make the mistake. He hasn't made any mistakes. He's been almost dead solid
flawless.
Perfect because he hadn't been behind chains. It's like you're always getting first downs and getting big plays with those receivers, with Smith and Igbuka and company, and using Henderson in the passing game. And I mean, look, you got 2 5-star running backs behind that offensive line too, with Henderson and Quinshon Judkins, the Ole Miss transfer.
So this is interesting from a market standpoint. So let's just look at DraftKings. 82% of the bets right now, not shockingly, on Ohio State, 80% of the handle. I'll get to the total here in just a moment. We mentioned Chuck Esposito over at Stations. He let me know looks like sharp action on Texas. But texting with our buddy John Murray over at the Westgate, I'll read to you what he said, which is they actually are going to be big Ohio State fans because of the futures market. I think they would get hit pretty hard with Texas. So they're going to be big Ohio State fans just from the futures standpoint. But, you know, I'm kind of going back and forth. I've kind of got the devil and the angel on the shoulder here. And here's why. Because from a number standpoint, this number has probably gone too far, right? Six and a half. The 6.5 was the peak, and it came back down 5.5. Because entering the college football playoff, and it's funny, as you mentioned, the perception. What was the perception of Ohio State going into the college football playoff? This team stinks. Fire Ryan Day. How'd they lose to Michigan?
They were 7-point favorites at home against Tennessee, and the market was coming in on
Tennessee.
They love
Tennessee.
And we have flipped the script where they are laying 6 to Texas on a neutral side.
In the state of Texas.
Yeah, and look, it's not a total home game. Look, there'll be plenty of scarlet and gray.
If they can get there.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a very good point because Midwest, very tough travels right now. But so it's not a total home game for Texas, but you got to maybe give them a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, put a little bit of a portion in the number their way because it is in Dallas and – you know, Texas is back. Is this where Texas is finally back? Because they can get to the national championship here. So I would expect majority burnt orange there in the Cotton Bowl.
Well, and then the other side is saying, all right, is this LSU 2019? Now, they did that all year long, but LSU 2019, I can't remember what the point spread was off the top of my head. It was near a touchdown in the national title game against Clemson. I was on Clemson. I think Clemson was winning after the first quarter.
Mm-hmm.
And then they did not win.
No.
They did not cover.
No.
It was a runaway freight train. And I brought this up. I brought this up to Matt yesterday. You know, you and I love to bet college basketball. UConn, not last year, because UConn was the best team in the country going into the NCAA tournament last year. UConn in 2023 lost the Big East Championship to Marquette. They were a 3 seed. They won and covered every single game in the NCAA tournament. And by the time the Sweet 16 rolled around, they crushed Arkansas. They crushed Gonzaga. Mm-hmm. They won the national title over San Diego State by like 20. Like, is this the Ohio State? Is this the juggernaut we've been asking for all year in college football? So I think ultimately I'm going to be on Texas here. But let me bring it to the total. Because I said this going into the Tennessee game. The person I trust the most in that game was Jim Knowles. I love this defense for Ohio State. And I like what I've seen from Texas's defense. However, as you've pointed out, they did start to get gashed a bit being on the field as long as they were against Arizona State. What do you make of this total? Right now, DraftKings is the highest in the market at 53.5. And just looking over at our betting splits, once again, do with it what you will. Most of the public probably not going to bet these games until day of. But 76% of the early action on the over. Not a surprise there. What did you see last? 41-21 yeah. Rose Bowl, 38-31, albeit in double overtime, or 39-31 Peach Bowl. I think people are going to anticipate shootout because of what we saw from Ohio State. But I think this Ohio State defense is the real deal. And I think Texas is going to figure out ways to, I'm not going to say completely nullify and slow down Ohio State West, but it ain't going to be as easy as it was against Oregon.
And Texas also, you think, is going to be try to commit to running the ball. They did not run it very well against ASU.
Carries for 4 yards?
22 carries, 50 yards combined for those two. But I think, Sark is going to be like, hey, we got to establish the run. I know they hit that big play early.
Yep.
And it was like, oh, God, here we go. ASU's really up against it here, buddy. This is going to be a blowout. And then was for a little bit, and then until it wasn't down the stretch. But when you mention those percentages, Tim, you could tell, though, even though the majority of the early action is on the over, that there's been a resistance point. There's a resistance point already, and that's something that I like to do. You never want to be a slave to the line screen necessarily, but I kind of like to look at, okay, where are the sharper books, at least early leaning, and I don't want to overread this. I see Superbook at Westgate at 52.5. I think they're the lone wolf, and they're the lowest number in the market. So, in Vegas, when I see like Westgate or Circa as the lowest number in the market, or I look, offshore at Chris or someplace like that, and they're the lowest, that at least gets my antenna up, because we know out here in Vegas, like the Win on the Strip or the Stations, our buddy Chuck Esposito, they're going to pump the favorites and they're going to pump the totals a little bit to the over, because that's what their clientele is betting.
Right.
So that's what they're going to do. So my lean would be to the under. You feel like you're taking your life in your hands betting in Ohio State, because we were, I think, both on the over in the Rose Bowl, and it's like, man, is Ohio State going to get this by themselves?
I know.
That's what.
Then it slowed down.
Yeah,
and I'm like, oh my god, are we
that's
not
where I
get
started
there?
To get a little skittish, because I was like, I don't know when they get up, 31 to nothing. It's like Ohio State's going to have to get like 45.
There were some
like,
Indian
Oregon
numbers
get
in
10?
Like that 66 range. There.
Yeah,
could have middled it.
And I wish I would have, but. But I would lean to the under here. I think 53.5, I believe, is the apex right now in the market. If you want to go first half, because maybe this is going to be, because look, we saw explosion in both games, in both quarterfinal games that these teams were in. Maybe they feel each other out a little bit, where it's like a boxing match where the first two, three rounds kind of like, okay, what do you got, or what's your game plan? I'm trying to figure you out. And if you're going to take that first half total under, try to find a 27 with juice. I think there's some 27 minus 20 out there. There's a lot of 26.5s. I don't like to do – that's a key number. Because sometimes we talk about key numbers, right, with sides and totals, or with sides mainly. But with totals, there are key numbers out there, especially when you're getting into derivatives like first halves. 27 is one of those. 24 is one of those where you'll see 23.5 juice to the over, 24 juice to the under. Same thing here on the 27. 26.5 juice to the over, 27, because that's a, I guess, a round number if you want to call it that. So would lean under here if I played the total.
Looking at a couple props, Jeremiah Smith is certainly going to be one that is going to be very popular. 84.5 is the number I see at FanDuel. Anytime touchdown, it was plus money, I believe, against Tennessee, plus money, I want to say, against Oregon. At FanDuel right now, and I'll look around, it's now minus $1.70 on Jeremiah Smith. Man, it does feel like, wow, we've gone so far on Jeremiah Smith, but the dude has been unbelievable. So far in the college football playoff, what do you make of Quinn Ewers in this game, and what do you expect from him? Quinn Ewers, you look at some of his props heading into this one, over-under passing yards, 236.5. Will he throw an interception? The no is plus 140. Will Howard, interesting to note here, It's about a pick 'em on both sides. Will they throw an interception? Will Howard? He's been so tremendous so far through this postseason.
I would lean toward the yes on that, because I think there are going to be a couple times in this game where Texas does get them in third and intermediate to long here, and that's where he's been vulnerable, and that's where he turns it over usually. You mentioned Ewers. I actually did have the over 250.5 on his passing yards in the Peach Bowl against Arizona State. It took a while to get there, and that's the one thing that's kept me from already betting Texas, even though I'm likely to be on that side, is that Texas has lulls, man. Like, and we've noticed it even in the playoff against Clemson. Yeah, Clemson scored early, and then Texas got on that big run. And then you got into that third quarter, and it's like, it kind of let Clemson hang around. That Clemson was never a threat to win the game. And they did the same thing with Arizona State, man. They just go in the walls offensively, and you get a lot of three and outs, and then they can explode like that. Like they can do it very, very quickly. So 236.5, I think, is probably right for Ewers. I would lean the yes on the Howard interception.
All right. It's going to be fun, man. Thursday night down in Miami.
One that I will give, though, you might want to look at for the Ohio State side. How about Travion Henderson over receiving yards? I think I think it's maybe right around the 20 mark, or the low 20s, or the high teens. But I think that they use him in the passing game, try to get him out in space, and he can get that corner very quickly. So Judkins, I don't think is as good in the passing game, but I think that he's like maybe more the power runner. He's more your get the ball in play, and Henderson can be your home run hitter. up the middle and in the passing game. So that would be one I would look at on the Buckeye side.
Yeah, once again, with props, always please. I know we say it all the time, and people are like, I know, shop around. With these player props, man, you could get 5-6. I saw
a There's a lot more variation.
I saw it, and I know ultimately Riley Leonard didn't score at any time touchdown, but there was one shop dealing a plus 120 and one shop dealing a minus 150. Mm-hmm. So please look around. So, you know, every yard counts, especially when you're talking about, you know, 22 and a half receiving yards right now at FanDuel. But look, you look at Travion Henderson to your point here, 3 for 20, 4 for 54, 2 for 25. Those are his last three games. So he's getting the ball and making some moves there out of the backfield. So official plays for you. We're going to go Penn State, correct? Anything else officially?
You know what? It's going to be, I have not bet this yet as we record, but I'm going to be on Texas plus 6. And I'll be looking at that under, especially if I can get 27 in the first half.
But. So more first half than full game?
Yes.
Okay. For me, it's a full game under. It was 47.5, now down to 45. Jeremiah Love props have probably gone a little bit too far, but I still think if you can get kind of creative here, I don't anticipate him, even though Notre Dame said he'll be good to go. I don't expect explosiveness from Jeremiah Love, especially against a really strong run defense in Penn State. So I think it's a lower scoring game. And then for the Texas-Ohio State game, I'm with Wes. I'm going to be looking to see what we can get with Texas. Do we get a 6.5 at some point? Can we buy it to 7? And then I'm going to be looking at that total as well, kind of a hold your nose looking at the under. But I think with those two, would you agree? No real rush on the under and Texas at this point?
Yeah, I don't think so. I think for Friday, you're going to see a lot of over money. So I think you may be able to get a better number here. But, Tim, for a Midwest guy and a Big Ten guy, this is very tough for me. Do I root for Texas because I don't like the Buckeyes? Or do I carry the flag for the Big Ten just to stick it to the SEC people who have been pretty salty there on social media?
Well, you could jump aboard the blue and gold, baby.
Yes.
Because, hey,
yeah,
you guys would have lost to the national champion. No loss in that.
Ohio State versus the SEC. What is Kirk Herbstreit to do? What is he? He's going through it right now.
Can I just catch? I want to give a shout. I love our listeners, and I got a tweet the other day from a fellow Hoosier Bear. I appreciate you listening to the podcast. He was coming at me like I was Kirk Herbstreit. I said, whoa. I've said all along Indiana belonged. My issue with Cignetti, and I think you would agree, if you're going to talk that talk,
you got to
back it up there. You can't be punting in Notre Dame's territory.
Well, when he punted, that's when I left and got out to the parking lot. I didn't even get to see our touchdowns in South Bend because of that. But, we will continue to attack Kirk Herbstreit on social media. Joe Klatt, though, you're a mensch.
All right,
we love you, brother.
Joe Klatt good, Herbie bad. I'm like Switzerland, man. I like everybody.
No, that's probably the way to be. We don't need heat with people.
Especially Wes Reynolds. For Wes Reynolds, I'm Tim Murray. Thanks to all of you on social media. Enjoy the games. We will be back next week getting you ready for the national championship. This has been the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast.